G'day, Michael. Are you in KL?
Yeah, that's me, mate.
Michael ringing from Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. Why do you listen to me in KL?
Well, I'm always working about this time. I do a lot of work for the UK. I run as a consultant here based in KL. I don't do much work in KL, but...
A consultant on what? What do you consult on?
NIT.
NIT?
IT.
Oh, IT.
Information technology, yeah.
You're a computer nerd.
That's the one. So I'm usually up quite late. I'm working a bit over tonight, but nonetheless, it's always nice to have you in the background, and some of the things and topics that you pull up, you know, get me laughing and get a point of view happening, I guess.
Well, so, it's about having a laugh, having a cry, having a think, opening up the brain, getting the grey cells working, as Hercule Poirot would say, and playing some classic rock. That's what we're about.
All about it. I thought I'd start off with a bit of a COVID update over here.
Please do. Go.
Perspective. So we're in lockdown. We're just going into the third week of a lockdown. Our numbers, Malaysia did very well. We got it under control, but we've escalated again up around 5,000-6,000 cases a day. So it's a,
how many?
6,000 plus cases a day. So when I watch the Nine News and I see four new cases, I just think, oh, this is just...
Yeah, four new cases in Melbourne. Shut down Melbourne. Shut it down for 2 weeks. I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it? But, you know, we're on top of it. Can I ask you this, Michael, from KL? What vaccinations are available and what's the vaccination uptake?
Yeah, very good, very good. I think Malaysians aren't as sceptical as some of the other races. We've got the AstraZeneca, we've got the Sinovac. I don't think we have Pfizer, to be honest. I'm already signed up for AstraZeneca. And by the way, I've already had COVID as well, which wasn't as painful as one might think.
You got COVID?
Respect. Yeah, went through it.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was not as bad as I expected. I woke up on a Monday morning with a horrible flu and, you know, the typical flu-like symptoms, nothing, you know, really deviating from that. And
Sorry. You sore throat. It's a respiratory infection. So did you have a cough? Did you have aching bones? That sort of thing.
Yeah, very fluish. It was aching bones, headache, fever, and developed into a cough and, you know, runny nose type scenario. But I just had. It's quite funny. I had one scary day where I woke up. It was about 4 days in, and I felt the weight on my chest, and I sort of felt, you know, like pain in the chest that I'd never felt in my life before. And that really worried me. And I had another friend that went through it as well, and I spoke to him about it, and he didn't have that type of symptom. But the funny thing was that only lasted, you know, about 24 hours. I woke up with it, went to sleep worried about what I might expect. Are you still there, mate?
Right here, listening, yeah. I'm listening to every word.
Just went all quiet.
No, that's because I'm shutting up and listening.
Yeah. Yeah, so I went to bed really frightened that night, worried about, you know, what was the next day, you know, when you hear all the things that happen with this. You know, it can be quite frightening when you have to go to sleep. And nonetheless, I went to sleep and woke up the next morning and it was completely gone. And it was just improving day on day from there on and until I, you know, I'm perfectly fine now.
Do you need a vaccine? You're down for AstraZeneca. I've had my first one. My second one's in August. Because you've got it and recovered, your antibodies are right now. Do you need a vaccination?
Look, I'm not an expert in that field, but I think the jury's out on it. I read varying reviews on that. You know, like one of the interesting things is a lot of the cases they think that people have caught it again. You know, it's just been poor testing. That the way that the testing methods vary from country to country, like this India-Australia thing, right? A lot of it comes down to the what they could perceive as the cutoff in the cycles of testing. Because when they test it, each time they test, they amplify the sample before they get a reading. And once they get a reading, that's considered your, I think it's called CT. I'm not an expert, but some countries cut off. If they get to 30 cycles and don't get a test, they consider it negative, whereas another country may be 25 cycles. So that's where we're getting those what looks like recurrences. But I did read something the other day from an English mob that are doing some research that said that if you have had it, they believe you're good for 3 to 5 years. So, look, nonetheless, I'll take the AstraZeneca. It's free of charge over here, so why not have a go?
As an Australian citizen, what medical benefits do you get in KL?
Absolutely nothing from the government, but the government, I mean, for a pandemic, it's different, right? We haven't had to pay a cent for anything so far, other than the initial test I had to pay for. But once I had it, everything since then has been free, and also the vaccination's free. Generally, we don't have any day-to-day health care, but I pay a private company here for private health cover.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, so you're covered privately, yeah. I totally understand that. So when you caught COVID, you were definitely tested and diagnosed with COVID. It wasn't the flu.
No, well as much as I can trust the test.
Test said that you had COVID. Am I right? Did I write this down correctly? You were really ill and flu-y for 4 days?
Yeah, about 4 days, yeah.
And then you had the pain in the chest, the heavy weight in your chest. You were scared to go to sleep, but you went to sleep and woke up fine.
Yeah, and that was only for 1 day. And the interesting thing is, out of the bunch of people I was involved in, 3 of us actually got it. And the journey for the other 2 guys was totally different, right? They didn't have many symptoms at all, but the main symptom they did have was loss of sense of smell and taste.
Yeah.
Whereas mine maintained that perfectly well throughout the whole experiment or whatever you call it.
The ordeal.
The whole ordeal, that's the word I'm looking for. But they had totally different experience with it. So it's like that it affects the human body in different ways. And, I'm just,
Wow. And when your friends, your colleagues recovered, they recovered just like you?
Yeah.
And that their sense of smell and taste, it came back?
Yep, absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
One of the guys that got it, he's 63, but my bunch of friends, we're all quite healthy. We go to the gym 3-4 days a week. We do walking for an hour and a half a day for 3 days a week. We eat well. We keep fairly well. So we think that helped a lot. And the guy that's 63, he didn't have any really serious issues. He's the one we're worried about the most, but he just lost his sense of taste and smell.
There you go. This is Michael, who's rung the program from Malaysia, from Kuala Lumpur. Listens to us while he's working over there. Got COVID, recovered 4 days of the flu, and then okay. Still getting the AstraZeneca vaccination, though. That is an amazing story, Michael.
Yeah, it is. But I'm happy to be alive and everything went well. The main thing I wanted to have a chat to you about was this restaurant issue.
Okay.
I'm just throwing the devil's advocate out there.
Good.
I don't really know, but it's just what when you raised the topic, I thought I'd think outside of the box here. Have a different opinion. And one of the things is I think restaurants structure their pricing based on sort of a family deal, right, so to speak, right. So you going in there and just buying a children's meal, it's not really living up to the family deal, right? The idea is that okay, we price mains for the adults in the group, and then we price the children's meal a little bit cheaper, they eat a bit less, and it's sort of meant that it's a package that it's not.
Yeah,
so
but I'll probably have 5 or 6 beers at $8, $9 a glass when it's $2 a can at the bottle shop. I might even buy a bottle of Shiraz depending on who I'm with. Nikki will definitely have an adult's meal. She'll definitely have an entree and a dessert, but I don't want to eat just 3 mouthfuls of an expensive piece of eye fillet steak. All I want is the children's nuggets.
Yeah, maybe if you present it that way right from the start, I think there should be some leniency there. One of the things I was thinking of is where else do this apply, right? Like if I go to the hairdresser as an example, right, I've got less hair than a 10-year-old kid, right? And it takes the hairdresser no more than, 10 minutes to get through my haircut, but yet I'm paying the adult fee versus a child.
I'm with you. I thought about the hairdressing analogy. I'm way ahead of you. I think I've said it before. I go to she's not a hairdresser, she's a barber. Svetlana, love her. I've been going to her for 16 years. My father-in-law, Nikki's dad, also goes there. Now, she charges now, she's up to $30. It used to be, I think it was 12.
Yeah.
I think it was 15 when I first started going to her. She's up to $30 now. She charges Ian $30 and me $30. Ian, he's nearly bald.
Yeah, yeah.
But she still charges him $30. I'm a lot longer in the chair because I've got more hair. But it's all swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And what about the 12-year-old kid that's had a growth spurt and he's 5'10" and he's going to the cinema sitting in front of you? He's paying half the price, and you're paying full price, and you can hardly see the movie.
Yeah, and he's got in on children's prices and is eligible for the children's meal. But
exactly.
But he's blocking my full freight, fully paid view at the movies. That's a very good point, Michael. I think you're caller of the week.
Ah, take it easy. But I think the idea is that the whole feeling of it is about, you know, encouraging families to go to outlets. And I do get your point about going to a restaurant and you're making up the shortfall in a bottle of wine, maybe a few beers between the two of you.
Oh, mate, four scallops, the size, I said a 10-cent piece. Possibly a 20, possibly the size of a 20-cent piece, $18. You're kidding.
Yeah.
$6 an oyster. You know when you order oysters? $6 an oyster. Not half a dozen for $6, not half a dozen for $12, $6 an oyster, Michael.
Yeah, I think they're probably around $2 an oyster over here.
$6 an oyster at this restaurant. You're kidding.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, they're taking the, I like to say take the piss.
But, you know, they've gone through a hard time, so it's not compulsory to go there. I just won't be going there again. I'll be going to my local pub where I can have a medium rare bloody T-bone steak with mushroom sauce, a baked potato with some sour cream and corn on the cob for $12.
Very good. The last point is just on that, actually. I want to know, is the tenderloin the same as an eye fillet?
Is tender... Any butchers, any chefs listening, give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3.
You guys are going on about the sirloin, but I can't go past the tenderloin. If I'm at a restaurant and I see a tenderloin, and I'm like you, I like it, you know, just put it next to the potatoes and let it warm up. A good vet can save it, right? And a tenderloin that's cooked well, oh, it's the best piece, best cut. And it's very common over here in Malaysia. I don't know how it is in Australia.
Okay, my understanding is that tenderloin is actually eye fillet.
That's what I think. It's the eye of the fillet. Like, it's just the...
Yeah, I think tenderloin, as it's called in the United States, is...
That's very common over here.
I think tenderloin is exactly the same as eye fillet. Someone will let me know.
Well, I can't go past an eye fillet then, mate. If it's well-cooked, well-prepared, and salted just right...
I'll go for Scotch fillet.
A bit of fat in it, yeah?
I'll go for Scotch fillet, yeah. Hey, listen, Michael, I am going to send you a Triple M T-shirt and a month of Nature Bee Power Pollen to KL, okay?
Are you sure? That's amazing.
I'd love to. You've been a great caller. You've been a really great caller. And you have thought outside the square. Stay there. Jess will get your details and keep in touch with emails and call us again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Luke.
Okay, good Jess, can you hang on to Michael? T-shirt, a month's supply of Power Pollen Nature Bee, please. 1-3-3-5-3. This is The Night Shift on Triple M.